gazing upon the rest. Yeah. The cool before the warm, the calm after the storm. The cool before the warm, the calm after the storm. I wish to stay forever, that's in this memory. Oh, but I'm caught up in a whirlwind and my ever-changing music.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Friendship Show. This is KX935, Laguna Beach's only FM. I'm here with Scott Hayes. Aren't I?
I'm here. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay. Here they are. And joining us in the studio this morning, the one, the only, the Artist Collective, my favorite group in Laguna Beach. You know, I'm not much of a joiner. And I joined this group. This is the only group I belong to.
Really?
Yeah.
I beg to differ with you, Mark. You not only joined this group, you organized this group.
Oh, my gosh. And, of course, that's our fearless leader, the one, the only, Dr. Karen Redding. Good morning, Dr. Redding.
Good morning. Good to be here. This is a first for me.
Is it? You've never been on the radio?
I have never been on the radio.
Oh, wow.
But people tell me I have a very soothing voice, so we'll have to check it out.
You do have a very soothing voice. Next to... I say Dr. Redding like I call her Dr. Redding all the time. That's Karen. Next to Karen is Kat Saxon. Hey, Kat.
Hey, Mark.
Oh, get really close to that microphone.
Okay.
There you are. How are you this morning?
I'm great.
You missed the bus.
I missed the bus, but Daryl got me here, so he's my hero.
He is a hero. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
I'm good.
All right. It's good to have you guys here this morning. Thanks for coming in.
Did we have a choice, Mark?
you know how we do things, sort of in the way that we do things. You like to let people believe they have a choice, but when it comes down to it, I mean, we all agree on what is right, right? and then we do those things. So we should talk a little bit about what the Artist Collective is.
I'm anxious to hear.
And how the Artist Collective came to be. Karen, do you want to talk about how the Artist Collective came to be? This is kind of your brainchild, really.
Well,
I
would beg to differ with you, but it does feel like a dance, and it does feel like you and I did this dance together when, back in June of 2010, I can't believe we're going on 3 years, Mark approached me and said, We would like to create some kind of support service through the Friendship Shelter of current or past residents who are talented people, and provide them a place to continue making art, promoting art, and coming together to be inspired with their art. And I'm wondering if you can help us do this.
Well, that is kind of how it happened. It really came about because I think at that time, and I think Kat and Daryl were part of that sort of initial kind of exploration, is that in the work that we do, we were coming across quite a few people who at some time in their life had made all or part of their living through the creation of art. And of course, given the community that we're in, that's not necessarily odd that that would happen. And the way that we normally approached things with people didn't seem to be working as well. It didn't seem as comfortable. It didn't seem quite as appropriate. And so I reached out to Karen and said, what could we do about that? Because Karen herself is a very talented artist. And I was really just looking for some advice. And what I got instead was an offer for her to lead a monthly workshop, seminar, group, discussion.
Well, again, Mark, I wouldn't say lead. I would say that with you, I created a safe, containing, supportive place, whereas with doing psychotherapy, you help people feel more comfortable, more relaxed, so they feel that they can show up and just really speak their truth and say what's on their mind. And I remember that when we began, it was really with that intention, quite honestly. Thank you for the compliment about being a talented artist. But I remember when I met Daryl and Kat, I felt a little intimidated calling myself an artist. I felt like I was more of a mental health professional with an interest in art. But I would say, as in any good relationship, mutuality grows. We help bring out the best in each other when it's a good relationship, a healthy relationship. And I have felt over the past 3 years that maybe I can call myself an artist, and in part that's been influenced by my participation with the Artist Collective.
Very nice. I'm wondering, how did you sort of figure out who to reach out to initially for this sort of program? Did you already have some people in mind to reach out to, or did you have to kind of go out and find them?
No, I think we had definitely some people in mind that we really wanted to participate and have a part of this group. And Kat and Daryl were definitely two of those people. So Kat and Daryl, how did you guys feel coming into this? When we started this, what was your first impression walking into our group?
I told you had to put me in the program.
Oh, did you?
And that I couldn't be job searching because all I've ever done is my art, and that's how I make my living, and I needed to expand upon that, and I needed support. So that's how I came to it. I went to your office and said, I need to be in this group that you're talking about.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. Well, I listened. Yay. Yeah. Good for me. Daryl.
Well, 3 years. It's been 3 years, and it doesn't seem like 3 years that we've been together. But I can remember being excited about it when you first presented the idea to me, and I'm still excited about it. Yeah.
I think over the last 3 years, I think I really have learned, when Karen says that, I think that the group is mostly about just showing up for each other. I think that I've learned that in the last 3 years, and that, you know, on some of those Thursdays or Tuesdays or whichever day we're meeting on, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm like, oh, this day has been so long and I could just go home a little early today. And I don't really want to add another thing to my schedule. But you show up and you go to this group. And I think that we've all made a commitment to do that, even on days when it's not that easy to do. And it always seems worth it at the end of the group to me.
Could you give us a sense, those who aren't familiar with the group, or sort of why you even bother getting together? What is the purpose of the get-together and how that works? And what is, I guess, ultimately the connection between art and mental health?
Oh, good question. I think there's a connection between art and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think at the beginning, particularly coming out of the friendship shelter, the idea that I had was, you know, let's talk about what it means to be an artist. I mean, we love to be able to create something, to make art, and boy, oh boy, when we can sell something. My friend Sandra Jones Campbell, who rented office space where my psychotherapy office is in the Khyber Pass building, had told me when you sell a piece, then you can call yourself a professional artist. And so, of course, we love that feeling of being able to sell a piece of work that we've created. But I think that when we drop down and we ask the deeper questions, what does it mean to be an artist? What does it mean to make art? I think it's a way of thinking out of the box. I think it's a way of tolerating uncertainty, ambiguity. I think it's a way of making meaning out of nothing, or making meaning out of darkness, or making meaning out of confusion. And so I'd really like to think of art as not just visual art, but maybe the art of being a radio host, mm-hmm. the art of parenting, the art of being in relationship with somebody that you care about. So, I mean, I think that there's really art that takes on a way of thinking, a way of relating, a way of being.
I'm also wondering, as an artist or a musician or writers, if that whole creative process isn't sort of cathartic. In other words, it's an ability to sort of express yourself in ways you may not have been able to express yourself in the past. I'm wondering, Kat, or maybe Daryl, if you sort of gravitated toward the creation of art for those reasons or for other reasons.
I did. I can't be at peace unless I'm doing something artistic. And I've done that all my life. I've drawn since I could hold a pencil. And I live for the fact that I get mass appeal and that I can give it out. And when somebody takes my art or buys it, it's just that just makes it for me, because I know that I've done something in life.
Right. And if that were ever taken away from you, your art?
Well, it nearly was 3 years ago. I hurt myself, and I used to climb and do ceilings and walls and art all through commercial and residential sites. Mm-hmm. And I started out as an artist. I wanted to study something that I could make a living, and I studied interior design. And then as an interior designer, I started being asked to do murals and subjects that were very artistic. So I did that for 25 years.
Wow.
And then I hurt myself, and I wasn't able to do all that heavy climbing and work. So since then, through the Friendship Shelter, I was able to start a creation of a series of canvases with sculptures on canvas. And I've done an ocean series, and I've been able to do shows with them. Wow. And fundraising and gallery events, and now this. And it's just like, it's not gonna end. And it just gave me so much hope in my life that it's not ever gonna end.
This may be an unfair question, but when you said you got hurt 3 years ago, you physically couldn't do the work anymore?
Yes, I took a tumble. I was carrying a armload of things, and I was on a grassy slope. I tripped and caught myself and hurt my shoulder, mm-hmm. hurt my head, and really had to sit back and think about my life and make changes.
Right.
And I did not want to live outside.
No.
And I didn't want to depend on anyone else. And in a way, you know, the shelter, it teaches you self-sufficiency. And I went to them, and they helped me, and they helped provide, make provisions. And they gave me also a way to give back through fundraising and giving back to them and our community, and always reaching out for the next person.
That's very nice. How long were you there? I'm curious.
I was there for 11 months.
11 months.
And it was great.
Nice.
You know, it was the best support in so many ways. There mm-hmm. was counseling and groups and just living in Laguna, you know, you can walk anywhere. And I had lost my car through the economy, also as well as my place. And so I found a whole new way of life and took to the bus, everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I had never ridden anything but a ski shuttle or a school bus. So.
Well, you look great. You got a nice sparkle in your eye and your smile. So.
Oh, thank you.
Daryl, I'm curious, I was going to go back to the question about it, whether art was cathartic for you or not, and what sort of gravitated you toward the art world.
Well, I don't know what gravitated me toward it. I just like Kat said, since the time I've been able to hold a pencil, I've always, you know, wanted to draw and interpret the things I see. And you know, when I choose a subject, it typically has to speak to me on some deeper level. And what motivates me is the challenge of collecting that interpretation and translating it onto two dimensions. And so that's what motivates me.
So you've always been considered yourself an artist? You always, from a very early age?
Here's the thing with that. I don't consider myself an artist. I would rather that you consider me an artist.
I do.
I would rather not consider myself an artist, and that's just the way I choose to look at
that. We were looking at your cell phone outside before the show, and you were showing us a couple of your oils that were really quite extraordinary if
Thank you
saw them.
Thank you.
And, you know, if you need the reinforcement that you're an artist, my humble opinion, you definitely are.
I accept it, and I appreciate it, but, you know, like I said, I would rather that you consider me that.
Fair enough.
As opposed to me making that distinction on myself.
You were also with the Friendship Shelter for a while?
Yeah, I was there for about 90 days back in 08, I think it was. And they've been very helpful in my life in helping me get back on track with some things. And today, I mean, it's a complete 360 degree turnaround for me. And
from where you were prior to going into the Friendship Shelter?
Yes, where I was, yeah. And today, you know, I'm fully self-sufficient. Today I have the ability to do, as Kat mentioned, give back, participate in fundraisers. I get a chance to do stuff like this today. So, and that's all as a result of my relationship with Friendship Shelter and people like Mark and Karen and Kat.
Very nice. Yeah.
I would just mention that these three artists, Karen, Kat, and Daryl, when they say they've had the opportunity to give back to the shelter. You know, every year we do our big fundraising event, and it used to be called The Art of Getting Home, and we auction off all kinds of artwork as part of that event. And these three have had pieces in the show for at least 3 years, if not, Daryl, maybe even a little longer than that.
About 5 years.
And their artwork has raised thousands and thousands of dollars to help support Friendship Shelter. So for whatever the organization was able to do, they have certainly given back to that. I think one of the things when we first started this group, Karen, one of the first things that we did was try to figure out what it is as artists we're trying to do. What is our mission as an artist? And didn't you bring some of that with you?
Well, yes, actually, I did. I thought, you know, I mean, the way we do the group is kind of like this interview, actually, Mark. I think we just try to come together and shake it up and show up and get real. And I think initially in coming together, I was interested in creating an environment where we could each speak to what mattered to us and clarifying our voice as an artist in terms of what it is, as Daryl was just saying, what it is we're trying to do to convey. I think more importantly, the artist's mandate is show, don't tell. What can we show? And to create a vision for doing that.
Okay.
So we did initially try to create, with listening to each other, mission statements.
Right. Let's take a little break, and then how about if we come back? Because I really would like to hear from all of you. What is the impetus behind your work and what it is that you're trying to say in your work? Because I think all of these artists have a very distinct voice in something that they're trying to say. So we'll be back in a few minutes. You okay, Kat?
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome back to the Friendship Show here on KX93.5.5, Laguna Beach's only FM. I feel like I just went to church.
That's a great song. Great song.
So while we were gone, remember what I, because my mom sent me a text while we were gone.
What did she say?
She said, "Mark, I love you."
What about me? Does she love me?
I'm sure she does.
All right.
If she met you, she would. She's so happy that I said I love you. Okay, we're back with the Artist Collective here on the Friendship Show. I think what we were going to talk about here for a few minutes is what y'all trying to do with your artwork. Because I know that we, as a group, we spent some time developing mission statements and trying to sort of define, clarify our voice. And I think for people who are able to see the artwork that each of the artists create, you can see that there's something going on there. It's not just random. So I don't know, who wants to start?
Well, I'll start.
Okay. Start really close to that microphone, though, Darryl.
Okay.
Darryl
All right.
G.
Well, would you mind if I read my mission statement?
I don't.
Is that okay with you?
That's okay.
Okay. All right. It says, "I create because I get to experience enjoyment and a sense of freedom in the creative process. My goal is to convey through my work a deeper emotional, spiritual, and sentimental dimension of what I am seeing and experiencing in a subject. I attempt to look far beyond what is obvious, and I try to capture the subject's sentimental essence. Therein lies the challenge and the reward, because this objective is in constant flux, depending upon my own sentiment in the moment and my perception in the moment. My goal ultimately is to have the viewer react to my work on a deeper level that speaks beyond the visual." And that pretty much, for me, says it all. When I see an image that becomes of interest to me as a subject, I typically see something spiritual that I want to try to capture and interpret in two dimension. And sometimes I'm successful, and other times I'm not. And so when I am successful, I get to enjoy it twice as much, because now I get to, I don't know if that makes sense, but I get to enjoy it twice as much. And then someone, Karen mentioned it about selling art, and then someone might come along and purchase that piece, and then I get to experience a experience of loss, so to speak, which, you know, has another side to it too.
This is, I trying to get a painting from this man is unbelievable. It is. It's like ripping a child out of his hands sometimes. It's like, I actually own a painting of Darryl's, and I would say that I think I was drawn to a painting of Darryl's for the same reason that lots of people are drawn to his paintings, is there's so much feeling in them. They're very emotional sort of paintings. But when we had to talk about the painting leaving him for a while, and then once we made the transition where the painting no longer lived with Darryl anymore, we had to have visiting schedules so he could visit the painting from time to time. He gets very connected to what it is that he's doing.
It's true. I do.
All right. Yeah. Kathleen.
Okay, well, I'll read also. "When I enter a physical environment, I play with creative ways of enlarging on its color, patterns, rhythms, and possibilities. My artistic intention organically emerges out of a wish to create beauty, spaciousness, harmony, and delight. I like to be playful and to inspire people to feel happy, calm, and even surprised with something in the environment that adds to how the space might be experienced. Ultimately, my vision is to capture the beauty in what already exists in any physical space and to enlarge upon that with imagination. And I think that's created through being an interior designer and working with each space that I've been in and developing to the client's tastes and the environment and working it together. Now, my vision has grown into creating something on canvas that will ultimately fit into a space, but that is something that's coming just from me. It's not designed for any specific other person. It's something that just to give out. And that's how I've developed my business. My business has always been She's an Artist. It came from working on construction sites and being the only different person there. Everyone else was in a specific field, but I was the artist, and they would say, "No, she's not a painter, she's an artist," you know. So that's how my company name grew. And now I just do art for myself and put it out there. And
your work's very environmental these days, isn't it? You're doing lots of environmental sorts
everything
of things.
Is water-based, and it's multimedia on canvas. I sculpt with plasters and then work in with glazes and do oceanic, different views from all around the world. You can choose your ocean, you know, where's your spot. And I've done everything from overhead, looking down upon Treasure Island scene, to the tide pools at Treasure Island. I've done Riviera Maya in Cancun, and I did the sunset, or actually the full moon over Laguna. And that was the last piece I sold at fundraiser this last year. So now I've
commenced. And the prints are going like hotcakes, aren't they?
Yeah, I've commenced to getting my work printed now. So that is really exciting. I set up my Facebook page and my website, and it's just all kind of coming together. So
I'm curious to know, as artists, whether you feel the need to be inspired before you create, or is it part of just a daily routine that you wake up and it's a day to create?
It is, and it's, for me, I have to be in that creative mode, but the painting kind of grows. It just keeps kind of growing, and I don't have a real I have an idea of what I want, and I have photographs, and I go out, and I always try to go on site and develop the feeling and get the colors in my eye and just go with that. But things can really grow in studio and change. And then it depends. I use multimedia, so sometimes I'm using gold or silver copper powders, or I'm using glazes, and I love to work with metallics, and so for me it grows.
Daryl, do you need to be inspired before you create, or do you just wake up and start creating every day as though it's a job?
Well, I wish I could wake up every day and create every day, but I have to work a regular job like most people.
Gotcha.
I would love to be able to roll out of bed and begin painting on an inspiration. But typically, if I'm not inspired by the subject, it's really difficult for me to put myself into it. And so most of the work that I've done or attempted to do has been something that originated from it, some inspiration that the subject brought to me.
Do you feel empowered by the creative process of painting? Do you understand
it's twofold. I feel empowered, and also I feel very humbled at the same time.
Nice.
Because of the challenge that I'm trying to achieve and capturing what I sense and see as something spiritual. You know, it's not anything that you can put your finger on and actually touch. You know, if you're a spiritual person, you can obviously feel it on some level. And so I'm humbled by that, but empowered by the confidence that I can get there, you know. And sometimes I'm successful and sometimes I'm not, by my own interpretation. So.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Karen, let's talk a little bit about your artwork. Daryl and Kat are both painting, but you are a photographer.
Right. So I think I will also read my mission statement, since as a group we really put considerable time and effort into trying to crystallize this. And my mission statement is that Travels Through Humanity is the name of my growing body of photographic work taken in remote places throughout the world. This work embraces the landscape of biodiversity while also highlighting that which is essentially human, our need for connection, a quest for safety and a sense of belonging, and our innate desire to be seen and accepted deeply. I hope in my work to convey the sense of seeing, and in so doing, help the viewer to see the many faces and facets of our shared humanity. And so when I think of your last question, Scott, in terms of inspiration, you know, I mean, again and again, I go back to my roots as a psychotherapist, or even just the nature of thought. I mean, I don't think inspiration is really about getting anywhere. I remember I also meditate because it's important for me to be able to find ways to quiet my mind and quiet my body. And I remember on one retreat, a teacher saying to us, a lot of people think they come on retreats to get something, but essentially people come here to drop things. And so when I think of what is inspirational or what is the process or act of becoming inspired, I really think of it more that way. For any of us, it's like, what can we let go of? What can we let drop away? Is it perception of performance? Is it perception of comparing ourselves to others? Is it perception of somebody in an art class that, you know, in the third grade that did things so much better than us? What can we do to just let this drop away? Because I think the quintessential question in terms of inspiration, creativity, is really getting down to a deeper place of authenticity and just down to a deeper place of being comfortable with ourselves so that something can move through us and come through us.
So are these the types of discussions that you have when the collective gets together and works?
Amen.
Or is this the process you walk through there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think, you know, at the start of each group, and Mark agreed in coming in, and I was very pleased because I said to him I would really like to run this group as a peer-oriented group rather than an authority-bound group so that we're all in this together. And generally when we start our meetings, I'll ask sort of a question of inquiry just to get things rolling, like just, you know, let's check in this week or this month because it's monthly meetings. And let's hear from everybody what supports your creative process or what seems to get in the way so we can recognize those things more. And in so doing, just have access to work on those edges.
Yeah, Daryl.
I just had a thought. Thought we might want to mention our Facebook page, our Facebook page for the Art Collective.
Oh, we're gonna give out addresses nobody's business.
All right, great. Okay.
I like this stripping away. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what I wanted to say about our group is that in many ways for me, you know, I've studied art and been to many classes and courses and interior design and architecture. And if you're in an architecture class, it's a completely different, you know, feeling and genre than if you're in interior design or an art class. And they're all critiqued. And in our group, what I like to share is that it's support. We're not really there to critique each other's work. I try to find the positive or the best that I can to give into our group, and then I walk away with that.
I like
and,
that.
You know, it's something that I think, you know, you have your artist colonies and everything. I'm not the kind of person that goes out and seeks a coffee shop or something so I can gather with people and talk, because I'm just, you know, I just kind of work alone. And I found that here. Mm-hmm. I found a group of artists that I can hang with and be with, and then I've grown into getting to know other artists and going around to the Laguna Art Walk and, you know, joining in more. And it's opened up that world to me.
I think one of the interesting things about the group is that when it comes down to it, like, I've never seen Daryl paint. I've seen lots of his paintings. I've never seen Kat paint. I've never been with Karen when she's taking a photograph for a show. And yet, I feel like I know an awful lot about the process that they use. But I think the group is more about the person. It's what Karen said. It's more about how do I, as a person, develop the best clarity, the best vision, the best direction, and get rid of all of the things that are in the way of me communicating something honestly. And I think that's really what it comes down to for me, is what's the truth and how can we get at the truth in ourselves and in our work.
I love the idea of stripping away everything and all the hurdles and problems that prevent us from achieving that level of authenticity that ultimately makes us better at what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's got to be a challenging process for a person in your profession, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get people to strip away those voices in the back of our heads that are telling us we're not good enough, we're not good enough, we're not good enough.
Yeah, and I think it takes time. I don't think that any of us are willing to stand naked immediately, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think that trust is a process. And I don't think it comes just through words of someone saying, you can trust me. I think it comes through the nonverbals, the look of your eyes, your gestures, the tone of your voice, your willingness to gaze at me with some curiosity or maybe some kindness. So I think trust is a process, and I think trust is really a essential ingredient in the creative process.
Very nice. And Kat, I love what you said about the fact that oftentimes as artists, we go out and we want to learn and we're critiqued all the time. And that just sort of reinforces sometimes the sort of insecurities we have about our own artwork. But in this particular group, it's all about the support that you kind of give to each other.
Well, yes. And art is so subjective.
Right.
Everyone knows that. And somebody will love it, and then someone else will come in the room and start telling you how you should have done it.
Oh, sure.
And, everyone needs support in some way in whatever they choose to do in life and get your strokes. And you can count on that with this group. And I totally think that as artists, we just put ourselves out there, and we're just vulnerable, right, to being hurt. And we're sensitive people that, in order to be creative, you have to have a sensitive nature, mm-hmm. I think. And that just leaves you open to a lot of things. And then you try to kind of escape that reality at times. Yeah. And this way you can reinforce yourself and have a group together that holds you. And you don't have to be sick
right.
to get into a situation to support yourself. And I think as artists, that's something that is important to identify and create in your life.
And Mark, I'm curious, what inspired you to sort of begin this discussion 3 or 4 years ago? Are you an artist yourself, or how did you sort of come to this place?
Well, Karen and I have had lots of conversations about this, and before I came to Friendship Shelter and worked as a program director there, I spent 20 years working in theater. I was also, the theater that I worked in was part of a community art center, and so my office was right next to a gallery, and I was in charge of setting up art classes for professionals and for children and all those sorts of things. And so it's something that's been very important to me for a very long, long time, and I know what it is like to sort of have that need and that desire to create something. It really is my passion to create. And I know what it's like when that doesn't come easily, or when you have to sort of really set time aside and say and do that. And I guess what I'm saying is I spent 20 years as an underemployed working actor who waited tables in every restaurant in Minneapolis for many, many years until you get a job doing what it is that you really love. So when I came across the people like Daryl and with Kathleen, this is something that I identify to. I'm always looking for interesting ways to work with people who find themselves in a particular situation. Karen is, of course, being extremely modest because she is not just a therapist. She is an exceptional therapist who has accomplished kind of a level of looking at things and dealing with things that I don't think most people ever really get to. And so for her to say, we're going to have this group and we're going to approach it as we're all here together, we're all on the same level, we're all just going to kind of put our stuff out there and then we're going to deal with it with each other is not all that common. It's not something you find a whole lot, a therapist who's willing to be as present and vulnerable as Karen is willing to be in these kinds of situations. So
she's Thank you, Mark. That's very touching.
She's downplaying it a little bit. You guys want to talk about our new collaboration, the fun thing that we're doing? Because we have in the collective, it's always, we've done several shows together, and we've had a few public showings here in Laguna Beach that went extremely well, by the way. But it's always been like, Daryl has a wall, Kat has a wall, Karen has a wall, and then I talk. And now what we really are trying to do is we're trying to bring our work together to create things that are sort of a true collaboration of everything that we do. Who wants to talk about it? Someone, jump in.
Okay, I'll start and then you each can add a layer. But yeah, Mark, I think this really was your brainchild. You said, you know, we've been together a couple of years. I think it's time for us to embrace and operationalize more of what it means to be a collective. And so I was at a show during Art Walk, and I saw some multimedia work in one of the galleries that started with a photograph, and people sort of added different layers to that photograph. And I had this idea, since I do fine art photography, maybe we should choose one of my photographs, and then Daryl and Kat and Mark could add dimensions of their own art expression, interpretation to that. So we chose a panel of Huli. This is a tribal group of men in Papua New Guinea who were doing drumming. And in their drumming, it was very, there was a sacredness to it. They were really losing their sense of separateness and really coming together as their own collective to make and expand music beyond what they would be able to do at the singular level. So we started with that photograph, and now I'll turn it to Daryl so he can tell you what he did with it.
Well, I saw exactly what you saw, Karen, and but what I felt was I felt a sameness in our culture. Here in the Western world, United States, I felt the sameness, the same spirit that I seen in that photograph. I felt the same spirit that I get to see in the culture that I live in. So, and everything that you just described, which I won't try to do because you did it as best as it could be done. So what I did was I layered on a few of the characters in this image. I layered on suits and ties. And I layered on in the background an urban landscape, so that it was basically became a combination of rural jungle and urban jungle combined, because I think that the spirit is shared no matter where you are on this planet.
That's very powerful, by the way. That's a very powerful sort of connection between two different cultures. Kat, and then you stepped in and...
Well, I did, and being that I've dealt with an ocean series, Karen was like, Kat, so what are you going to do with, you know, your whole feeling of ocean, and what could you add to this project? And I was like, well, I don't know how I'm going to bring the ocean into the jungle and this whole thing. And so then Karen just opened herself up, as always, and she told me of this dream sequence that she had in college, and it was reoccurring, and she would see beautiful saltwater fish swimming in the sky. And she had asked all of her people that she was in touch with, all the health professionals, what this meant, and she said it meant that it came together collaboratively, that it meant that she was going to take a path in life that was beautiful. So I painted fish and sea turtle and seahorses floating in the sky.
So where does this end up, Mark? How do we find it? Where do we go to look at the art works?
Well, currently the piece is with me.
Excellent.
And I haven't completely decided what I'm doing. But the idea that I'm going with is I'm looking at found objects. And the idea that I'm working with are artifacts, because when you look at the original painting, you see sort of the things that we would consider artifacts of that sort of other culture far away. And so, you know, there's bones and feathers and all of those sorts of things. And so I'm in the process of trying to find and collect what might be modern artifacts, and then a way to preserve those as sort of what are the bones and feathers of our culture.
Great idea.
All right.
Great idea.
Now, if you want to see the artwork of these people, I want to make sure that everybody has a chance to do that. So, Daryl, where's your art currently and how can people see it?
Well, I have a few pieces at a gallery here on the PCH in Laguna Beach at a gallery called Air Laguna. And I'm not sure of the address. It's, I don't have the address in the top of my head right now.
Air Laguna, here in Laguna Beach.
Yeah,
look it up.
You can look it up. You can Google it. It's called Air Laguna.
Where's your website?
And my website is DarylGoberFineArt.com.
DarylGoberFineArt.com.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, if you Google him,
that's D-A-R-R-Y-L, by the way,
yeah,
two
if
R's.
If you Google him, you'll find him.
Yeah.
Kat,
okay,
where can we see it?
My art is on She's an Artist on Facebook, and I have my cat signature as my logo on my Facebook picture there. And so you can find me there. She's an Artist.
She's an Artist? She's an Artist.com?
She's an Artist on Facebook.
Oh, She's an Artist on Facebook. Go to Facebook. She's an Artist.
Yes.
Got it. All right.
Locally right now, I would encourage viewers. This is the last week that I have a solo fine art photography show. It's at the second floor gallery at the Wells Fargo Bank Building here in Laguna Beach. And it was curated by Pat Sparkle. It's under the auspices of the Community Art Project, and it's called Citizens of the World. Otherwise, my website is KarenKRedding.com.
Nice.
Don't forget our Artist Collective Facebook.
You can say it right into your microphone.
Okay, the Artist Collective is on Facebook. That is the Artist Collective in Laguna Beach.
On Facebook. People can always go to Friendship Shelter, www.friendshipshelter.org, and the Artist Collective, and find our link on our page at Friendship Shelter. You guys, the hour is up. We got
great
go.
Show, Mark. Great show.
Was it?
Yep.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you guys liked it. Ida May is in the studio. That's we don't really watch clocks here. I just wait for Ida May to pop her head in, and then she says, "All right, that's it. You're done."
No, you could go on forever. This is a great show.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it. What do you want to do? Do you want me to play some music and get us out of here?
Or? Yeah, I think that's the best thing to do.
Should we do that?
Do you have an outro song?
A what?
You know, outro, intro, outro.
Oh, sure I do. Sure I do. It's right here.
Okay. And then will you start taping my show for me?
You bet. Absolutely. All right. You've been listening to The Friendship Show here on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. That was The Artist Collective. Ida May is up next.